fantastic. Yeah. So you have two actors and two men, two women in the cast.
Correct.
And can you tell us a little bit about the show?
No.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Just kidding.
That's okay.
No.
So big secret. Like that.
No.
It's like Fight Club.
Exactly. Yeah. First rule of therapy. Yeah, right. You should never talk about therapy.
Well, that's actually quite true, actually. at least if you're the therapist, you don't. It's a story about three therapists and one client whose life, who makes a choice that changes everybody's lives.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think when you see everybody on the couch... you assume that it's about four patients.
Well,
maybe three patients and one doctor.
Well, what it explores actually is the kind of the dual sides of several of the characters, because several of the characters are therapists and also patients of other therapists.
Right, which is very common.
So, absolutely.
A lot of therapists are in therapy.
And so one of the things that the play explores is kind of how that changes for each individual, you know, at different times when they're, you know, confronting or put, you know, they're the therapist, and other times when they're kind of put in the other role, either willingly or unwillingly.
Wow. Okay, so what made you think to write about therapy?
Well, I'm a social worker, been a therapist,
right.
And as a therapist, I've worked with clients with all different kinds of issues, and as with most of my writing, usually there's something that happens in my work that leaves me struggling.
Okay.
And so I found that writing is a really great way of trying to work it out on the page, and try to work out whatever struggles, human struggles I'm dealing with, or whatever struggles lead me to think about other people might be dealing with.
Is it hard as a therapist because I would imagine as a social worker and as a therapist that idealistically, you go into it in the beginning thinking you're going to fix everybody. And then you realize in time that a lot of people don't get fixed. And that must be a hard thing. You must have a hard thing to know where to put it at the end of the day. Because obviously you have to, when you get done at the end of the day, you have to go on and have your own life as you. But it's hard not to still be thinking about what happened at work.
Have you seen the show?
Have you read the script?
I
think you just said something live verbatim.
No, I mean, what
sometimes
I love...
I just do
almost,
that.
You almost quoted a line from the
sometimes I just do that.
What I love about what you just said is that it really does get to the heart of so much of what the play wants to look at,
right.
Is, you know, how do therapists put it away, and do they successfully put it away, and how do they struggle with patients that don't want to, you know, look, we all kind of, yeah, we want to fix, you know, you want to feel like you've helped somebody get better, but
sure.
We can't always do that, and I'm sure doctors deal with it, and teachers deal with it, and all kinds, you know. And it's about recognizing at what point, you know, do I not have control anymore over helping somebody overcome something? A therapist can't want something for their client more than the client wants it for themselves.
Right.
So.
Right. And that, I think that's very hard for people that want, you want, I mean, like you were saying about being a doctor earlier, about being the doctor and the patient Luis was laughing about. But I think when you're a doctor, you probably, a lot of times, you fix people. Sometimes people get sick and they die, but a lot of people get fixed. But I think that issues of the brain are different. Emotional issues are different. Not everybody gets fixed, or maybe not fixed to your satisfaction. Maybe they think they're better, but they're still not fixed.
Well, and what complicates it even more is that if you're a doctor and you're healing somebody, then you're healing them physically. If you're the therapist and you're working with somebody's emotional stuff, it's going to bring up all your emotional stuff.
Sure.
And then what do you do, like you were saying about the, you know, what do you do with it at the end of the day? And that's a lot also of what the play deals with is, you know, if you're the therapist and you're sitting with a client and they're bringing up stuff and it's pushing all of your buttons, what do you do with that? You know, and do you go to your own therapist? And do you work on it with that therapist? And, you know, how do you let it not get in the way of your work with your client? You know, like, it's
right.
it's
fantastic.
Fascinatingly complicated, I think, which was a lot of right. what drove me to want to explore it.
Right. Now, is it hard when you're a therapist yourself to be, you want to put some of it into the play, but obviously you can't put people's real lives into the play because then you're in trouble and fired. So is it hard to not, as a writer, to not want to take what happens in your day job and turn it into a play?
Yeah, that wasn't really too much of an issue. I mean,
people you work with would be like, what? You were in play called therapy? You're fired.
No, that wasn't really much of an issue as far as, the characters are not modeled after actual clients. You know, some of the situations, are situations that either I was familiar with or other people were familiar with, but there's nothing, it wasn't an issue of confidentiality or anything like that.
Yeah, I didn't even mean that just as much as I think it's hard when things are happening to you every day. I think a lot of writers, like if you're a writer and you work during the day at, a grocery store, sometimes you take a lot of things you encounter during the day, put in your writing. It's just naturally what writers do.
Yeah.
So, but you have a job where you can't really do that. So that makes it a little more tricky.
Well, I did that, but just not with the specific... I did it with the idea of therapy and the experiences of what goes on in therapy as opposed to the specific kinds of, issues, let's say, that, clients were dealing with.
Now, Luis, is this your first experience with therapy or have you had therapy? Or is that not my business?
Well, that's not a personal question. just kidding. That's a line for the show.
Usually actors start talking about their therapy the minute they get here.
Well, actually,
You're a tight-lipped bunch.
Not to be cliche, but theater is therapy.
Absolutely.
Not to be cliche. But
at a church.
Yeah.
Theater is such a church.
Yeah, absolutely. I went to a therapist one time, just dealing with some, family stuff.
Sure.
Which actually relates to the play, which is one of the reasons actually why I chose the play, because, personal ties to some of the subjects, and I found it really an interesting outlet for exploring characters and situations and events. So I've never actually gone and, been to a therapist and talked and all that stuff, but again, for me, and I'm sure for a lot of actors, acting and exploring roles and being able to explore things that maybe you don't feel but are curious about, or just human curiosity about what somebody else might be, putting yourself in somebody's shoes, I feel like that's very therapeutic.
Well, I think a lot of actors, if they were studying a role about therapy, they might go take some therapy just to see what it was like. I mean, it depends on how deep you go in your study as an actor. But a lot of actors want to find out about it to see what it is.
Yeah, I did not go to therapy for this show.
That's fine. That's good. I'm scared to ask Marcy, but I'm going to ask her because she has secret things about her life that she doesn't talk about.
Yes, I've had therapy.
Now, did that make it easier to get into this character?
Well, I had one particular psychologist who was a wonderful, empathic, and caring, compassionate person. And so I've kind of brought that back, and also Jeff was monumentally helpful in not only physical mannerisms, or for example sitting forward when you're talking, maintaining eye contact with the patient or the client, listening, waiting for that person to finish before you begin asking the next question. So those technical things were extremely helpful. And then you have to rely on your instincts as an actress, and your own what the lines say to you.
Sure.
So, and the character spoke to me greatly. I just really love her.
Are there little pieces of you, Jeff, in all of the therapist characters?
There's pieces of me in all four of the characters.
In all the characters?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because people have asked me, in previous things I've written, which one was you?
Sure, I'm sure everybody wants to know that. Yeah.
It sounds like a cop-out to say, there's a little piece of me in everyone, but how could there not be? I mean,
right, absolutely.
There is.
Well, and you're also the actor that played them all first, because as you're writing it...
Absolutely.
You're reading it back and forth to yourself, and you're acting them all out, so you're really originated all the roles as well.
Absolutely.
But I think that sometimes when people write, I think some writers put a little bit of themselves in everything, and I think some writers specifically write roles for people they have known.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think that some writers write roles to be completely not like them, And sometimes a role is a combination of both. It may have started out being a guy you knew, and then it wound up being a little bit of you as well. So I think that it just depends on how a writer writes.
Yeah, I mean, my experience, and I know everybody's different, is that when I do my best writing, it's because it's something that comes from me and from my heart and something that I'm dealing with or struggling with. And I like to believe, and I think I do believe, that that means that in most cases that's true for the people who will be watching it as well, because they're such human struggles.
Right.
So, you know, one time somebody actually commissioned me to write a piece, a dramatic reading, and it was a really different experience because that was somebody who was paying me to write something that they wanted written.
Right.
And that was just very different, you know, because it wasn't my heart, you know.
Now, what was your first play that was produced about?
It was called Mixed Blessings, and it's about a straight Jewish college student and his gay college roommate who is of German descent. And it's how each of them pushes one another to confront their respective identities.
Wow. So it's got a lot of the same themes as this.
It was a little...
But done in a different way.
Yeah, a little lighter. That's a little bit of a lighter drama.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, it was also exploring identity and... Yeah.
But obviously this has a lot of funny parts in it because... You were talking about the audience laughing, so there are
funny moments, absolutely.
And that's, I think, that makes the drama more dramatic and the funny parts funnier when there's a mixture of both.
Absolutely.
I think if it's just hearty har after hearty har, people get kind of tired. They get desensitized to it after a while. But I think when something is really dramatic and then it's funny, that's the best theater response that you can get.
You have to give the audience some release, some from the tension, and this play does that several times.
Now, what do you like about the way Marcy's playing this character, Jeff?
Pressure's on, Jeff.
I know, right? I think that Marcy just, from the first audition, I mean, you know, she looked and emanated the character. You know, clearly she came in and studied the character because this isn't who she really is.
Sure.
But she is Sandra. She I don't know what else to say about that. She just portrays Sandra beautifully.
I'm getting fatigued.
She has kind of a mesmerizing magnetism to her.
Oh,
like,
you.
I could listen to her talk and just take a nap. I sort of wish I had a little blanket back here.
I put
it was
you
like,
to sleep, do I?
No, it's just like you know what I mean? It's I get a little mesmerized. I'm like a cobra in a basket. I start to get a little, you know, because there's something very, you know, kind of sweet and soft and lulling about you that's, I would imagine on stage, you're fantastic.
Thank you.
She is.
Now, what about Luis? What? I take it, now, does Luis play the patient?
Yes.
Okay.
The pressure's really on now.
I can lie.
My mom's listening, just so you know.
Oh, is she? Oh, no, now the pressure really is on. Because I'm going to meet her in person, aren't I?
You are.
You know, the secret backstory is, and it's not a secret to Luis, but the secret backstory is that the role was cast, and then the person who was cast decided it just wasn't the right time to play the role, and this he just decided that this wasn't the right timing to do this production. And so we had the luxury, actually, even though it was a little stressful, we had the luxury of doing an audition just for that role one day, and Luis was just standout. Mm-hmm. He was just standout. You know.
Yeah. What do you like about him in the role?
I love that he surprises me sometimes. As a director, that's one of the biggest gifts to see. First of all, to see the actors kind of make the roles their own, but then for them to bring these innovations. And these little things that, you know, after so many rehearsals, all of a sudden there's some new thing that I've never seen before. It's a treat.
Well, and I think that Luis is like that in general. I mean, he's got such a sweet face and looks like the boy next door. But I would imagine just in speaking to him for the last half hour that there's a lot about Luis that we maybe don't know. And that surprises just keep happening. And he just sort of, and that you'd be very impressed by all the things he could do.
Completely impressed. Well, and the other thing is that I know he's like all like blushing. The other thing is that he just hears direction, and he takes direction beautifully, and is so, you know, committed to the role and to exploring new ways of exploring the role. So.
That's wonderful. Now, then why did you pick the Secret Rose Theater?
It was the location. I love the North Hollywood. The NoHo Arts District is amazing.
I do too.
And it's just become such an amazing area, both for theater and dining and nightlife. And it was also the right setup for what I needed, you know, as far as the space. And the previous production I did was in a different theater, but it was upstairs, and it was a little harder to find the theater. And I liked that it's really in a prominent place, right on Magnolia Boulevard, really accessible, also accessible to anybody who has disabilities, which the other theater wasn't because it was upstairs. And
right.
So I really I like the space.
How exciting is it for you, Jeff, to see one of your children sort of graduate into life?
It's really exciting. It's amazing. I mean, I've been sitting with this for several years, actually, you know, kind of going to the page and spending time with it and then coming back and then going back again and doing a reading and then, you know, doing editing. And so to actually see it on stage with these amazing actors, with this beautiful set that's been designed and the lighting. And I mean, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's exciting.
It's wonderful. Now, do you do a lot of changes in the production, or do you pretty much know when the plays, by the time you get people auditioned, is the play pretty much where you want it?
Yes, it's pretty much where I want it, but we do make change. I mean, we did make changes. There were different, you know, as we sat, questions that the actors had. There have been a few small, no major plot points or anything, but small lines added here or there because it just either worked with the moment or it was some new thing that came to us as we collaborated together, you know, and read the play together. There are things that sometimes don't work technically that we have to work out, you know, an actor getting from one place to another, but there's not enough time. So how do we, you know, so there are some small things that we change, but when I bring it to, you know, to production, I feel that it's really ready to be there. Yeah.
Marcy, you've done a lot of like musicals and big casts.
Musicals and
Big cast, straight plays.
Yes.
Is it fun to do something with such an intimate cast?
It is. The smallest cast I've had was I Do, which is two people.
Right.
But the smaller the cast, of course, the more intimate the production, and the closer you become to those people.
Right. And the more time you're on stage with each one of them,
absolutely,
really having
yes.
good scenes.
Yes.
Whereas if you're doing a show with 20 people, there may be people in the cast you're never on stage with.
That's very true. That's very true. But it's been a journey. This has been an amazing journey, this whole process. I really enjoy the rehearsal process. We started rehearsals, I think, mid-January. And Jeff is correct. It's definitely a collaborative effort, and that's, I think all of us appreciated that.
It's wonderful.
His willingness. I did one other new premiere piece where the writer was involved but not directing, so this is a new experience for me, and I like it.
It's wonderful. Luis, what do you like about being on stage as opposed to being in front of a camera?
I mean, it's what we talked about before, is being able to get everybody's energy and hearing laughter or sometimes gasps. We got some gasps.
Yes, we did.
Nice.
Which was really good. It's just
awesome.
All of a sudden, like, a line is said and silence, and all of a sudden somebody goes,
it's fantastic. It's awesome.
You know, I'm backstage going, I'm like, really? Awesome. Like, that was cool.
That's awesome.
So it's really, and it's also the thrill of it's all live. I mean, it's if something goes wrong, if there's a light cue, or if there are no cuts, you just have to do it, and it, that also brings an excitement, because it brings, you know, like Jeff was saying, something new to something that you've rehearsed over, and it really just brings you even more so into the moment.
Right.
You know, somebody says something different, and you hopefully you're in the moment and you can react, and I think that's something that's really, really actually very exciting, that, you know, nobody can just say cut, let's do that again.
Right.
Which is a whole different experience.
Well, and there has to be trust too.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like that trust exercise where you fall back and your partner will catch you. I mean, that's sort of like every second on stage.
Absolutely.
You have that with however many people are in the cast and are also in the crew. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that you're going to trust that it's all going to work out the way it's supposed to for an hour, 2 hours, however long the show is. And you just sort of live in that if something goes wrong, then everybody just organically has each other's backs. Someone drops a line, someone grabs it. Somebody trips over the couch, someone mm-hmm. makes sure they don't mm-hmm. fall. You just, yeah. you become like, it's almost like you're a little out of body. It becomes almost a very Zen thing where you just know to take care of each other.
It's awesome.
Yes,
it's
it is.
Really, it's its own life. And that's one of the things that you don't get from film. And actually, I have, you know, the really, and I mean, Les Mis comes to mind just because it's like the most recent thing, but I love when they do one take shots or
yeah.
they do, because I think that there's something really special about just being in a scene for so long that you don't see in film as much just because they're cutting scenes and changing cameras and all that kind of stuff all the time. But to see something that you see that they're just there and they're sharing a moment with each other for so long, I think that's really awesome. And you get that in the theater.
I have to say, I have such unbelievable amount of admiration for actors, theater actors. I couldn't do it. To be there without a safety net, I couldn't do it. And I think that, you know, what I hear when I talk to actors is that there's a thrill to that. And I get that, but that's scary. That's just scary to be working without a safety net. And I just, I am beyond in admiration of you guys and
yeah.
of people who do that work.
And there is a thrill to it. I mean, you become an adrenaline junkie from it.
Totally.
It takes you're high as a kite when a show's over.
Yeah.
Because all of your endorphins and all of your adrenaline is pumping. And like I said, you're sort of half in and half out of your body, and you're in a strange theater space. And it must be the way people feel on a tightrope. Mm. Without a net.
I mean, was going like, to say, it is like working on a
either it's going to be amazing or we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And because you never know. You're not the same every night. The audience
no.
is different every
right.
night.
Right.
And so there's always an element of danger, if
right.
you will.
Absolutely.
And excitement. And it's wonderful.
You're all amazing. Will you all come back and see me? I would love that.
Oh, thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You're amazing yourself.
First of all, where can people find out information about the play? Where's the best place, Jeff?
Brownpapertickets.com. You can search for therapy, and everybody needs a little therapy. Tickets are available through Brown Paper Tickets.
Fantastic. And then, Jeff, where can people find out about you online?
That's a secret.
Oh.
No, where can they find out about me? I actually have a website for my dramatic readings, which is www.jewishdramas.com.
Wonderful.
So that's probably the best place to get some information about me. Yeah.
Fantastic. And what about Marcy? What about you?
Well, I have a Facebook page, but I'm not going to give it out.
That's from her former life, people. It's none
of
your damn business.
Full of secrets.
IMDb?
I'm on IMDb. And,
wonderful.
And, yes.
It's a good place to find you. Find all the TV stuff that you've done.
Yes.
Louise, how about you?
I am on IMDb as well, and I have a website that I'm probably going to be fixing a little bit, but it's just my name, www.luiseselgas.com.
Fantastic. And if you missed any of those links, you can also go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com. Send me an email, and I'll gladly forward those links over to you.